Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. We are here on Building Fortunes Radio live, if you will. You'll hear some of the background noise. It's a Saturday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And every Saturday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, I get a chance to share a microphone with a really great friend of ours. Didn't start off as a friend, started off as a total stranger. You know how that kind of works. But as a result of, you know, years of having really great conversations and talking about different things, we find ourselves on the same wavelength. And I want to introduce our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience, if you're listening in live, to a gentleman. His name is Scott Johnson. Now, Scott and I met, you know, just like sometimes people do as total strangers. He gave me a call after we did a radio show with Roger Van Vlissingen about Vima being taken down temporarily by the FTC. And as a result of that call, and Roger Van Vlissingen, really smart guy, writes for Seeking Alpha, is an anti-MLMer, but I like to talk to people that are all over the place, all views, not just one or another. And in the process of speaking with him, we had this really great conversation, meaning Roger and I, about what was going on with Vima and some of the allegations made by the FTC. And Scott Johnson called me and he said, you know, there's something that a lot of people are just forgetting about or not mentioning at all, and that's the tool scam. And because I was with Amway, meaning I hired myself and fired myself, wrong verb, I know, three times with Amway, and it was specifically because of the tools portion of the business, I didn't like it, so I wouldn't call it a scam initially way back when I was hiring and firing myself. But I realized there was something really dirty, in my words, about the way Amway, the corporate office, allowed people in the field to manipulate people using tools and the profitability of the tools and the necessity of the tools. And I said, you know, I just don't get this. And when I quit for the third time, that was many, many, many years ago, because I said, you know, how many times do you have to figure out the same conclusion? It's not going to change, and it wasn't changing anyway that I had seen. So I decided that when Scott and I were speaking, I said, you know, Scott, you're right. A lot of people don't talk about the Amway tool scam, and a lot of people don't know it, but in reference to the people that scam people with the tools, they're a little bit like gremlins when you get them wet. So if you remember the movie, right, what they say, keep them in the dark and don't show them the light and never get them wet. So an Amway tool scam person who gets wet pops up and they multiply all over the place in their own deals. So you'll find them in other companies all over the place. Usually their roots move way back to Amway, one way or another. Their roots in Amway, that's where they learned the tool scam. So when Scott and I started this radio show, I said, Scott, you know, I don't know how many radio shows we'll have about tool scams, but, you know, since we'll run a couple of them and see how it goes. And then we started talking about things that were happening every week in the network marketing profession. I said, you know what, Scott, people really need to be reminded of these things all the time. Would you mind if we made this a regular segment? And I wanted to give Scott Johnson a platform to be able to air some of the views that are out there, so this way you can avoid the potholes. Now, if you want to participate, I suppose everybody's an adult. You do whatever you want, but you won't do it uneducated, at least if you listen to this radio show. So having said that, we have a couple of things to talk about, of course, on our Building Fortunes radio show, but I do want to mention Scott's got a couple of websites. StopTheAmwayToolScam.wordpress.com. So StopTheAmwayToolScam.wordpress.com. And then another one, AllMLMFacts.org. AllMLMFacts, FACTS.org. So it is a great pleasure and my personal listening enjoyment to have Scott Johnson on our radio show. So, Scott, thanks for being here.
Well, Peter, thanks for having me again. I really do appreciate this. It's kind of a way to let off steam and also to try to help people understand MLM and how MLMs work. And my opinion is most of them are scams. And like you mentioned earlier, MLMs like Amway are scams twofold. The first is the tool scam, like you mentioned. And when we talk about the tool scam, what that is, it's usually the high-level distributors. It's sometimes the company, but again, it's usually the high-level distributors. They'll charge money. I don't have a problem with charging money for various meetings, small, medium, and large, books, recordings, video and audio recordings, website access, voicemail, these types of things. And again, I don't mind them charging money for it, but in Amway, they make many more times, multiple times, 10 times and more in some cases, from these tools than they do from the actual Amway products, from that business that they promote. And so, to me, they're lying by omission and deception. Often what they say is not technically false. They just don't tell the whole story. And to me, a half-truth is a full lie. So if you come on like, gee, the Amway business gave me all this success, and you don't say, by the way, most of the, you know, mansions and, you know, luxury cars and airplanes and yachts and all these goodies that I'm pushing in front of you all the time, if I don't tell you that that came from the tools, it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal because everyone has a right to know the nature of the business they're getting into. And I believe that that's business fraud. I think you have to put out these material facts, and if you don't, you're promoting something fraudulently. The other big problem with I would say most MLMs, and I can't say all of them because there could be some exceptions out there, but most of them, it appears to me, from all the indications I've been able to find, and I've been looking at this, by the way, since 2005, so this is not an overnight epiphany. I've really looked at these things. It looks like most of them, the MLM products are consumed mostly by the distributors, not by customers. And when I say a customer, it's a non-distributor person is a customer, whereas a distributor is going to buy the products. I mean, that's almost a no-brainer. You want to be able to know how they work. You want to show that you don't want to sell something to somebody that you don't want to buy yourself. I mean, that would be a disaster for a salesperson, right, not to buy your own products. So there's various reasons why an MLM distributor should buy their own products. The problem becomes when they can't or don't sell hardly any to outside customers. That is the definition of an illegal pyramid. And you'll see different companies try to define these terms in different ways, and they usually leave out some important facts. And we can talk about one of these companies, namely Amway, in a little bit. But I just wanted people to know that I joined Amway in 1993 and got unceremoniously kicked out in 2009. And found out about the tool scam actually 4 years prior to that, in 2005. And ever since 2005, I've either been trying to run a clean Amway business, or I've been researching and educating people about the nature of the Amway business as well as the nature of a lot of MLMs. Again, the tool scam and lack of retail sales, to me, are the two big ones. I don't think those are the only two problems with MLMs. But I think if you got rid of those two, you'd get rid of at least 95% of the problems. And no business is perfect, so I'm not looking for perfection. But when there's these blatant problems that really need to be addressed, those need to be addressed first. And anyway, that's just a little bit about, you know, where I'm coming from. And I'm not anti-MLM like our friend Peter, Peter Van Vlissingen.
Roger Van Vlissingen.
You know, Roger and many other MLM critics are really anti-MLM. They just can't see how it's even possible to run a clean MLM. And when you start talking to them, well, what if the MLM had retail sales, that would dwarf the distributor purchases? They just kind of zone out and say, you know, I don't know what they say. They just kind of give up and you know, don't really continue the conversation, or they'll say, well, that's impossible, and maybe it is, you know, maybe it is for many, if not most, MLMs to have a lot of customers. In that case, they should go out of business. They deserve to go out of business. But I think to say there's no way you can formulate a good MLM, that there's no criteria that you can use to define what a good MLM is, I think is not only illogical, I think it's not even attainable. I can't imagine the government going against an entire industry if they're doing things the right way. I've never seen that in the past, particularly in the United States. You know, the FTC has always been, in my mind, actually more than reasonable. I just can't imagine that they say, well, MLM is so bad, we're going to shut down the whole thing. Now, that wouldn't break my heart, because there's been so many people over so many decades that have been ripped off by MLMs. I just don't see it as a realistic goal. So that's kind of how I sit on that issue. I guess you can comment on that, and we can jump into whatever we want to jump in this week.
Absolutely. So sometimes I use the term in reference to stuff in business. You know, I used to be nice and naive, and now I'm just nice. So in reference to some of the challenges that some people have with MLM, I get it. Like, theoretically, sometimes it could be done the right way, but maybe they just never seen an MLM actually built the right way. Now, I know there are. So just so you know, I know there are, because I was with different network marketing companies, and I actually ran my own network marketing company for a long time before. So I know there is a way to do one legally, honestly, ethically, all of those types of things. But boy, when they're done wrong, they are really done wrong. And unfortunately, there seems to be a proliferation of the ones that are done wrong, especially in tougher economic times where people are a little bit more gullible or needy or greedy, and then also when the story's right. So when the story is right or ripe for, you know, big potential gains, then you'll see it happen, and a lot of those are happening right now with everything revolving around cryptocurrency. So Bitcoin was going through the roof. I don't know what it was today. If you recall, last week, I think I said, you know, it could be $11,000 for one Bitcoin by the end of the week, like meaning today I would be saying, see, it really can. It really could reach $11,000 based on the momentum that it has globally. But Bitcoin went as high as $16,000 in 1 week. Depending on who you talk to as far as the statistics, it went up 40% in 40 hours. So when we were talking, Scott, I think it was like somewhere hovering around 10,000 something. And then it bang, zoomed straight past 16,000. And when you have that type of a story to be able to tell, a whole bunch of people that are motivated by making money and could wrap their story around this story, it gets kind of scary and kind of freaky. So let the buyer beware. There are a lot of people that are wrapping their story around Bitcoin. Now, by the way, I'm just looking at I'm looking at Bitcoin.com, which is one place you can check. And right now it's down to, now imagine this, down to $14,079. We were saying it might get to $11,000. And right now I'm saying it's down to $14,000. So in essence, it's $3,000 higher than what I thought it was going to be, but kind of crept down a little bit. So that just shows you the volatility. So again, more reasons to get an education, because if you put the blinders of greed or need, sometimes that'll hurt you. And those are simple examples that are happening right now in the cryptocurrency world relative to MLM. So over to you, Scott.
Yeah, in fact, I saw something very interesting on the news this past week. Apparently, there's a variety of outlets you can buy bitcoins from, and their prices don't vary wildly, but they do vary, I would say, between 10 and 20%, depending on where you go to buy a bitcoin. And so some of the people were saying, yeah, you could even buy it from here and, you know, sell it right away somewhere else and make an instant profit, because they're buying and selling for different amounts. So it does seem to be the Wild West. And like we've talked about in the past, I just don't get Bitcoin. I don't know what value it adds except to, make, I do agree that it makes transactions quicker. But it also makes them anonymous. And if you're one of these drug dealers or, you know, human traffickers, to me, I just don't see that the value outweighs the downside. And, you know, we'll see what happens with it. But I know some people are very much, and these are business people that I've been watching on the, you know, business cable programs. Some are business people that are very pro-Bitcoin, and some are just saying, hey, it's a bubble waiting to pop. And you get the whole spectrum of opinions from people that you would think should know or would know what they're talking about, not just some guy off the street going, yeah, I doubled my money yesterday. So I still don't get it. And we'll just have to see how this whole thing plays out. I know you had a prediction that you think it would keep growing for a few months before it collapses, or maybe a couple years. And that's probably as good of a guess as anybody else is out there to see what happens with this whole thing. So I'll give it back to you with that.
There we go. So there's something just as a frame of reference. This isn't a Bitcoin show, but a lot of people on the phone or a lot of people listening in on the internet might not be familiar with Bitcoin. So there's some new developments that are happening right now, something called futures. So the government actually allowed Bitcoin to be traded almost like a stock, where people can buy futures. And there's the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and another one that are going to be launching Bitcoin futures relatively soon. Now, there's major banks that are backing away from this. They're saying, we're going to see how this thing goes, so we're not going to actually participate. And then there's other ones that are taking a more hesitant look. Like, we'll let some people do it, but we won't let all of them do it. And that's what's happening right now. So it's either going to add a level of legitimacy, or it's actually going to be the beginning of massive manipulation. So my prediction is massive manipulation, because once you give traders an opportunity to play a game, make quick profits and things like that, they will. So there will definitely be some massive manipulation. And that could be one of the reasons why there was a rise in Bitcoin. That could be some of the reasons why there might be a major drop. Next week's going to be the beginning of something. But the reality is it's hot. It is hot. And it's worth learning, I suppose, but it's also worth looking at relative to, and this is my personal warning, relative to how the scammers wrap their scam story around Bitcoin is what I would proceed with caution. And they're all over the MLM world. So Bitcoin is one thing, and Bitcoin itself might be its own issue, but which is either valid or not. But when it's wrapped with MLM, it's definitely a scam. So Peter Mingles is telling you straight front, it is definitely a scam when it's wrapped around an MLM. Every single time that I've looked at it, and I'll eat my words if it's not, but we'll see what goes on. So, Scott, I'll let you take the next story. I just have to get a barking dog away from my door. So you'll get like 2 minutes of silence from me.
Yeah, no problem, Peter. In fact, I was going to use your last statement as kind of a lead-in to the first story here. I'm on the website that we often use because it has so many stories every single week of developments in various MLMs, you know, traditional MLMs, cryptocurrencies, you name it. And we only skim the top of these stories. We don't in any way come close to covering all of them. So if you want to go to behindmlm.com and read more than what we go over on this show, you can find it. It's there. And you can also go into more detail because we kind of cover just the highlights of the stories that we do talk about, and there's more details within these stories if that's what you want to find out about a particular MLM or a particular aspect of MLM. So the first story is actually dated today, December 9th, 2017, and the headline is QNET Review, How is this MLM company still in business? And it made me think of, gee, this is like channeling Peter when he's talking about OneCoin. How is this company still in business? And the story goes into various details about how QNET was formed up, and then it has a long laundry list of different countries that have done different actions against this company, QNET. And it is amazing how much action there is from governments against QNET, and they're still around. It almost boggles the mind, and it really brings out another thing that I've always had a concern about, and that is just because a government makes a statement, a negative statement about a company, whether it's an MLM or not an MLM, unless you, the individual, knows that that warning is out there, you're not going to know about it, and therefore, from your perspective, there's nothing wrong with it. So for me, the governments need to go ahead and put out these warnings. I'm not against putting out warnings, but then they need to quickly take action and extreme action, action such as the FTC took against Vima. I guess it's been almost 3 years ago now, 2.5 years ago, and just really hammer them hard, you know, shut them down temporarily until they can get them into court to tell their side of the story. Otherwise, if the governments, excuse me, allow these companies to continue operating even with these warnings out there, nothing really changes from a consumer standpoint because they're not even aware of the warning and they continue to be taken advantage of while the government, I don't know what they think they're doing when they just put out a warning without taking any solid action, but to me it's almost a non-event. And so, Peter, you left there. I was just talking about the first story on Behind MLM today, December 9th, QNET review. How is this MLM company still in business? It reminded me of your comments about OneCoin. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was reading that too. I'm like, you know, how in the world could this thing even be around? Like, you know, can't you find like a special prosecutor or can't you find somebody to kind of go in there and take these things down? Like, there's got to be like a federal agent sniper, you know? Can't just like one guy go in there and kind of do something? Why in the world are you letting these things proliferate? And, you know, putting a warning out where people don't even see it is kind of like, you know, when they make you put a fictitious name in a newspaper just for the sake of putting it in there. It's kind of like, well, if people aren't looking for it, how would they ever know? So the reality is it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Scott, it's always been that way. I suspect it's always going to be that way, which is even more reasons why people need to listen to this radio show or anybody that is equally qualified or more qualified that is willing to share some of these things, as unpopular as they may be. You got to get educated on your own, because otherwise you or someone you know or love is probably going to fall victim to some of these things, and it's a shame. And I'm telling you, it's happening right now, and the more vulnerable people are, like around Christmas, the allure of a quick buck right around Christmas will mean there's going to be a lot of Christmas trees with less presents under them because people are going to be taken advantage of.
Yeah,
so
just
let's move on.
Just to piggyback on that, Peter, I think it's even worse now than it used to be because, you know, it used to be when we were growing up, and we're getting to be old farts, both of us now, in our 50s. But
right.
It used to be you had three major, you know, media outlets. You know, you had ABC, NBC, and CBS. And if you were lucky, you had PBS. But the big three were kind of where you got your news. And if there was a big event, that would show up on at least one of those networks, you know, probably two or three of them. But now media is so fragmented. You know, the Internet is kind of this dual-edged sword, double-edged sword, to where it's great to get information, but it's also spreading out the information so far and so thin that people just get inundated. You know, there's just like a flood of information, and you really do, like you say, you have to go out and get yourself educated because the major media can't cover everything, and there's so many other websites out there that you just get lost. So it really is important to go out and educate yourself. Don't believe a story from any source, I would say including me. Go and do your research. You know, if I give you something that I think is true, go verify it. Go find some other sources and see if I'm blowing smoke or if what I'm saying is accurate. I take a lot of pride in being accurate and not exaggerating, because to me the truth is more startling than anything I can make up. But don't trust me. Go yourself. Go look for other sources. And, you know, if you want to discuss this at any time, you know, that maybe you found something that's different than what I stated or is on my website, just email me. You can email me at stoptheamwaytoolscam@yahoo.com anytime, and we can have a conversation there. We can get on the phone. You know, we can get on Skype if you want to keep your anonymity. I'm just here to get the truth out. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I'll hand it back to you.
There we go. So since we're a little bit on the cryptocurrency story, we would be somewhat not in, how would I say, in the same vein as we usually are, unless we brought up OneCoin. So this would be a really nice opportunity to bring up OneCoin. So OneCoin, of course, is something I've been talking about for a long time from the very beginning. Smells fishy, looks like a scam, people not telling the truth about a lot of things, including Dr. Ruja. So, yes, Dr. Ruja, I don't think you're telling the truth about, you know, you coming up with this wonderful concept called OneCoin completely on your own because you were in a different company called Bitcoin. So I don't think it was a unique thought. So maybe you hit your head in the shower and then you forgot that you used to be in a similar company called Bitcoin. But anyway, OneCoin seems like it's still falling apart from the scenes, and they just demoted one of the major promoters, some guy named Carrie Walrus. So that's not a typical American first and last name, so I don't know where he's from. But one of their major promoters they just got rid of. Now, by the way, here's the predictable pattern. We call them PPs. The predictable pattern from OneCoin is always when someone gets arrested, when someone gets, you know, murdered, when somebody gets confiscated, when somebody quits or whatever, gets demoted, has their account frozen, it is always OneCoin coming back and saying, these people weren't following our policies, so therefore we let them go. And the answer is, well, they were never following your policies, and they were top leaders, so you knew they weren't following your policies. You're just using that as an excuse now that they're gone, or to somehow address that they're gone. So you knew it all along, you know, but the reality is that this is as much of a fraud Ponzi scheme as I've ever seen. And now that it's obviously not paying out as well as some of the other ones, because now you have your choice of which scam you want to get involved in, now they're probably losing money like crazy. They're growing like wild still, who knows why, over in the Asian countries. But everywhere else, they're falling apart, and it's just got to be a matter of time. However, you know, when they're hot, they're hot. So they know when to, a little bit like a pool party, they know when to jump in somebody else's pool in a different country. So they are still packing them in several different cultural areas, many of them Asian. But OneCoin's got to be done. We're running out of my time. I said they'd be done by the end of 2017. We can kind of say, well, they're almost done. They're virtually done. They're almost kind of done, but they're not done yet, and they're still up and running, and probably will still through at least a little bit more of 2018. But their days are over. It's got to be done. So anyway, so Scott, back over to you.
Yeah, that's interesting, Peter, because I think it was a week or so ago I saw some kind of a promotion for OneCoin, one of their, you know, so-called leaders. I'll put that in air quotes. Had some kind of a large meeting in one of the Far East cities or countries, I think. I don't recall the exact location, but it does appear like it is still, you know, a viable business in some countries. You know, and when I say viable, I don't mean it's legitimate. It's just that there are people out there making money and scamming other people. It's not, you know, it hasn't expired yet. And my sense is that a lot of the countries over in the Far East just don't have the regulatory presence that we do in the United States and in Europe and some of these more developed countries, that they're just kind of behind the power curve. And not that our FTC is on the power curve, by the way. I've always been very, you know, very critical of the FTC, that, you know, sometimes they do the right thing. They just don't do nearly enough of it. It just takes way too long to do anything. But that still puts them light years ahead of some of these other countries that just seemingly, you know, and of course we don't speak their languages, so we can't go over and, you know, read the Malaysian websites or anything like that. But I just haven't seen much from their governments at all. You know, it's just been almost no presence of government and regulators over there. with a couple notable exceptions. I mean, Vietnam cracked down recently, and China is in a current crackdown because things have gotten out of hand, and China cracked down on all MLMs several years ago. And then a few years later, they allowed MLMs to come back, but as direct sales models. You know, you don't have an upline, downline. You have a representative selling things to the public type of an environment, much like you had, you know, when you were selling vacuums years ago. So, you know, that's the kind of model that's approved in China. Now, whether all the MLMs are staying within those boundaries or not is another question, and that could be part of the reason for this China investigation. But yeah, a lot of the countries around the world, particularly in the Far East, just seem to be no controls or no oversight at all, and they're just letting their citizens be taken advantage of, unfortunately. So that's kind of my two cents. And then, by the way, if you want to get more details on that story that Peter just brought up, it's on BehindMLM.com, December 5th, 2017 story. And the headline is OneCoin Demotes Kari Woolroos, and then comma, Frank Ricketts Returns, ? So I guess Frank was previously involved, and now he's back with OneCoin. So if you want to read more of that, you can. What's next, Peter?
Let's see. So there have been some other things as well, just a little bit on the closed down MLMs that are now in receivership. So we'll start off with Traffic Monsoon. Traffic Monsoon is still in play as far as in the receivership. I don't know where they are specifically, but, you know, it's going down the regular timeline, which is never fast enough. But there were two distributors of Traffic Monsoon that tried to sue the payment processor, meaning PayPal, with basically negligence. You should have known that they were a scam, so the money that we were able to process through PayPal is now suspect, and we're going to sue PayPal to get our money back. And that ain't going to fly. So just to mention that, you know, once your money's gone, your money's gone. So watch out if you're Western Union, if you're PayPal, if you use Bitcoin, forget it. It's really gone. No chance of coming back if you use Bitcoin. If you use an e-wallet, got to watch out for those things as well, because e-wallets will close you down if they find out that you're paying money to a scam. So they'll take your good money and they'll take your bad money. But those are some of the things that are happening. And Scott, I'll be quiet. I got other things to say about receiverships and MLM companies in a second, but I'll let you comment on anything you want to about PayPal or Traffic Monsoon.
Yeah, I didn't read that article very closely, but my understanding is the judge stayed the case, which means he froze it. And I don't know if that means that the case is being thrown out or it's just being stopped to gather more information, to do more discovery. That's unclear to me just from breezing through the article. So we'll see what happens with this case. But it is interesting that, you know, and it's kind of smart in a way from these two people that were victimized that they're going after the deep pockets, because that's, you know, rule number one as an attorney is look for the deep pockets. And, you know, deep pockets meaning somebody or some company that has a lot of money. Because if you sue somebody that's poor, you know, and you're trying to sue them for money, well, guess what they don't have by definition? It's money. And so it's almost a futile effort. And so, you know, if you're an attorney and you want to sue somebody and you want to get paid for your efforts, then go after the people with the deep pockets. And PayPal certainly fits that. And, you know, whether they were negligent or not, I guess will come out eventually. Maybe, you know, I mean, these people might drop their lawsuit, or it might go forward in the future. We'll just have to see. But go ahead on with what you wanted to discuss there, Peter.
And just so you know, PayPal stance is we weren't negligent. We informed whoever we were supposed to inform that we suspected there was some transactions that were fraudulent or of illegal nature. So they're kind of like they're okay, meaning like they're off the hook. So if you are a payment processor and you see some illegal or suspect some illegal activity and you notify the proper authorities, it kind of lets you off the hook as far as the negligence side. If they hadn't, it would have been a different story, but they did. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to something that's a little bit sensitive to my situation, and that's with Zeke Rewards. So, you know, I'm going to quote a gentleman named Jack Ma. Many people don't know who Jack Ma is, and I don't need to quote Jack Ma for validation of what I'm going to say next, but now he's a billionaire, just so you know, and he made this thing called Alibaba, and he's like super duper billionaire rich, and is a little bit like a Richard Branson, where he's kind of like all over the place and all different things. But somebody asked him about Bitcoin, and he says, let me tell you something, I don't know that much about Bitcoin, and it's okay to say you don't know about something if you don't know about something. What's bad is if you talk about something as if you know it when you don't. So a lot of people fall into the not paying attention to what Jack Ma said in reference to some of the things that they talk about. So in reference to Zeke Rewards, of course, Zeke Rewards was deemed a scam by the receiver, deemed a scam by all the people who lost people in their downline. Some of them are fellow radio show hosts that sometimes I might even talk to or interview, and they'll say things like Zeke Rewards was a scam, and there'll be other people that say Zeke Rewards was a scam, and they're repeating that Zeke Rewards was a scam because they read that the SEC said it was, and the receiver said it was, and blah, 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 everybody says it was. But here's the thing. No one ever proved it. No one ever proved it. So here's what's happening. And this is a little bit of inside scoop for you people that listen to, when I say you people, that's not derogatory, from you people like me that listen to radio shows like mine, you will hear. There is a group of attorneys that are actually filing whatever they need to file, whatever documentation, against the receiver, because the receiver for the Zeke Rewards case claims that there was a final judgment. And when people do forensic lawyer work on how that was determined, what they're finding, at least allegedly, is that there can't be a final judgment because they didn't fulfill all the obligations that you need to be in something called a final judgment. So all of those people that are being sued by the Zeke Rewards receiver and are settling or paying money or getting taxes taken out or whatever the thing might be, or clawbacks and collection calls and everything else like that, they are really getting those things, quote unquote, fraudulently. That's my term, allegedly, in my humble opinion. I don't know how many more disclaimers I need to throw at that. But they have a really valid case. And the reason why I say these things is because a lot of people say certain things about Zeke Rewards, and I had a little bit of a personal I got to give you, I suppose, disclosure. I received money from Zeke Rewards as like a sales consultant. I did conference calls for Zeke Rewards. I did, what else did we do for Zeke? We did a lot of things for Zeke Rewards, although I wasn't an insider. So I had a different opinion of what I was seeing from Zeke Rewards when Zeke Rewards was going through what Zeke Rewards does. And I could probably, given the opportunity, list a lot of very compelling reasons to say, you know what, maybe there were some things to be cleaned up, but maybe there were some things that doesn't make it a Ponzi scheme. Maybe there were some things that didn't make it a pyramid scheme. And I know I won't mention the critics' ears who's right now, they're, even if they might be listening to us, they feel like somebody's talking about them. So I guess I'm talking about you if you're listening in. So there you go. I could use your name, but you're not here to defend yourself, so I won't. But the reality is there's a lot of people that would say, I can't believe Mingles is talking about this. And then I will just refer to something I've always said, unless I know all the variables, any conclusion I draw is probably wrong. Said the same way by Jack Ma in reference to Bitcoin, which he doesn't know a whole bunch about, he admits. For those people that don't know, when they need to know and then talk about it, they're probably worse than anybody else. So they're just the gossipers, if you will, the people that are looking for attention or maybe have another agenda. But these attorneys that are working on behalf of the Zeke Rewards net quote-unquote winners have a very, very, very valid claim that this thing should be unraveled and unwound, and they should not be paying those dollars back. So for all those people like in behind MLM, if they were listening to this, they would write, you know, Mingles, might as well spell my last name the right way, M-I-N-G-I-L-S. Mingles is taking the side of known scammers. And some of the people in Zeek Rewards, quite honestly, were probably known scammers. But that doesn't necessarily mean the whole thing was fraudulent or bad, or the way everything went down was right, fair, or legal. So that's something you won't see on anybody's radar screen just yet, which is another reason why you want to listen to Building Fortunes Radio. So, Scott, over to you.
Yeah, those are all valid points, Peter. In fact, I was just thinking when you brought that up, you know, the whole legal realm is very exacting. You have to have all of your I's dotted and T's crossed, or else you can get in real perilous trouble. And I mean perilous trouble. It's things like, let's say the police collect some evidence, but they don't keep track of the evidence. They don't keep, I think they call it custody records. And if they don't do that, if there's a question that comes up about, well, gee, did you really control this evidence correctly? And the answer is they can't prove that they did, then the entire evidence gets thrown out. You know, it's really quite remarkable. You know, we see it all the time in the news how, okay, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to introduce this. It wasn't read as Miranda rights, and so everything he said, you know, even if he, you know, totally admitted to everything he was being accused of, that gets thrown out completely. You know, there's no middle ground there. It's just gone. And, if this case is such that things were not done properly, you know, either in the beginning or during the case, trying to wrap up the case and put a little bow on it, then, yeah, there could definitely be repercussions from this that, you know, are going to be adverse to the intent, I think, of the judge and what the receiver is trying to carry out. So that's a really interesting tidbit. We'll just have to stay tuned next week or week after, whenever that develops further, to see what comes up with all of this.
That's right.
Very interesting story. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to give you one example, but this isn't a specific. This is like an example, not necessarily a specific example. You know, we've all seen sometimes how things are thrown out of technicalities, and you say, you know, that's stupid. I mean, that's so you guys are weasels. You know, you lawyers, you're friggin' weasels, because you took something. You know, because something wasn't filled out in a certain form, or certain wasn't done this way, you throw out the whole case. Like, please, that's a technicality, and you're a weasel. So I don't mean to call lawyers weasels, because I could use far worse words. But one of the examples I'm going to use are this. If anybody's ever accused you, so if I used your name, so I'm talking to you, if anybody's ever accused you of a debt, and they send you in writing, say, we think you owe $7,842.37 for whatever reason, and you have 30 days to write back that you acknowledge that that debt is either right or wrong. Well, what if that person waited 35 days to send you the notice that you had 30 days? You'd say, wait a minute, even if I got the notice, it was sent 5 days after the deadline had expired. That's dirty pool. Like, that's not only dirty pool, that's illegal, that's wrong. You never gave me a chance to defend myself, and now I owe that $7,842.37 because I didn't reply in time. So that's what I'm talking about. Things weren't done right, so a lot of the people from the net winners didn't get a chance to respond on time, get the right legal representation, blah, blah, blah. And there are, by the way, 9,400 people that fall into that category. We're not talking about a few. We're talking about 9,400 people that fall into that category. So that's just flat out wrong. So I'll use one more example, and then I'm going to let this one go. We actually have some customers who wound up receiving 1099s from the receiver, and they owe taxes. Like, if you get a 1099, guess what? The IRS gets a copy of it as well, and you owe taxes on that. So they paid the taxes on the 1099, and one of them happens to live in the state of New York, and he didn't claim the state report, and the state came after him. So now he's making payments. So he's making payments of some penalties, and he's making payments on the inflated number of the 1099. By the way, the receiver shut down the back end of the website, so none of the people can legitimately validate the expenses. So they couldn't even give those expenses to their accountants, because if they were audited by the IRS, the IRS says, well, where's the expenses? Where's the validation? And anybody who knows anything about taxes, if you can't validate the expenses, whether they're real or not, they don't exist. So because the receiver closed the back end office, they couldn't even pull out their transactions and show them as being proof. So this one of many gentlemen, not only is he paying the back taxes, but now the receiver is coming after the whole amount because they consider him a net winner, plus interest. So you'd say, oh my gosh, that is like, that's double, triple, quadruple whammy jeopardy. And I know the guys from behind MLM would say things like, well, scammers deserve those things. Well, that's just an ignorant statement, because there's a lot of people that aren't scammers that got caught up in the Zeke Rewards thing, and lots of them, more than you could ever imagine. And a lot of them were net winners. So the reality is it's just bad. So having said any or all of those things, these are the reasons why we fight this stuff, so maybe you don't put yourself into those types of situations. Or if you do, at least you handle them accordingly, or ask the appropriate people so you don't get wrapped up into it yourself. So that's all I have to say about the Zeke Rewards thing. And there's more stuff happening with Howard Kaplan, the attorney, who was being sued by the receiver and really being drugged through the mud. I mean, oh my gosh, the amount of legal fees that poor Howard, and I say poor Howard Kaplan, has to pay as a result of this receiver is a little bit like what they're doing with Mike Flynn over in the Trump administration thing. They are burying that man in legal fees, so he's got to sell his house just to try to come up with the legal fees. Howard Kaplan is in exactly the same position, but the amount of money that he made giving that advice is minuscule relative to the amount of money that he has probably spent on his attorney fees to fight being, in his opinion, right against the receiver on the advice that he had given them relative to how to calculate those 1099s. So, there we go, Scott. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to beat the government because they have virtually unlimited funds if they want to go after you. And it's just like any individual trying to go up against a big company. You know, like we've talked about on the show before, Amway sued me. Well, compared to me, they have infinite funds to pursue their case. So it became a point after about a year and a half, I recognized they didn't want to go to court. They just wanted to keep draining me until I cried uncle. So we settled. It was an excellent settlement for me. I'm very happy with it. And I thought this Kaplan story was over. Now, I guess it's been reopened or there's a new issue with him, Peter?
He never agreed to anything except for a trial. So they've tried to run him through the mill. So they tried to claw back the money. He said no. He went through, I'm sure, depositions and all that sort of stuff to bring it to a jury trial. So he is bringing this to a jury trial. So now just imagine that, Scott, because you know what it was like to do what you had to do. Imagine if you were the receiver, who, by the way, has bazillions of dollars still, because he hasn't given all the money back. So he's got millions and millions and millions of dollars, and a judge that has a tendency of rubber stamping, yep, I said it, has a tendency of rubber stamping anything the receiver wants, and that, too, may be somewhat problematic. And then you have Howard Kaplan, a gentleman who is a tax attorney slash accountant, and has got to now deal with all of the legal issues regarding trying to defend himself, and still saying, no, I'm going to take this to trial. So you know how expensive attorneys are, hundreds of dollars an hour.
Yes, I do.
Hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour.
I guess I was confusing him with another attorney I was thinking about. So since I stated before that I knew that he was going to fight this on a previous radio show, but then I didn't remember it correctly now, the FBI could come after me and accuse me of lying, just like General Flynn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's how crazy it gets. Is if you can't remember everything perfectly, then, well, you must be a liar. So now we're going to put you in, you and your son, in prison forever unless you admit to lying to us.
Right.
You know, it is crazy. It's really gone out of control in some cases, to where the people with the upper hand are really taking advantage of that upper hand. So this will be an interesting case from both, Kaplan's standpoint as he continues to fight this, and that new action that you're referring to, that I guess we'll hear more about as things progress. So great information tonight.
By the way, just since we're off, a little bit off on a tangent, there's a radio show, not a radio show, there's a website that I listen to all the time, RT, RT.com, Russian television, and start off with. But if you go to, if you download the RT application, probably like me, their videos will never play fully and correctly. So I'm not going to suggest that somebody's, funneling or somehow throttling down their bandwidth on their application, but it's the only application I know whose videos never work completely. So you have to go to YouTube to be able to listen to it. But if you go to YouTube and you type in America's Lawyer and then find the RT channel, you'll be able to listen to them on YouTube, because YouTube lets them go through. You'll see some of the challenges associated with the legal industry that will make your head spin. So it's America's Lawyer. And you go to art, you go to YouTube, because they play everything. And when you go there, just look for America's Lawyer, and you can listen to all of the challenges and overreach and a lot of things associated with what happens in the legal field. So if it seems as if, Peter, there you go, conspiracy thinker, oh, there you go, boo-hoo. Unfortunately, it's not just these people or these situations. It's the system. It's the system. If it's big, it's rigged, and oh, my gosh, the best thing you could ever do is never become part of that system, because once you do, you're dead. I mean, you're in trouble. It's over. So when people think about, like, what's happening with Michael Flynn, whatever the Flynn gentleman's name is, and you just say, oh, gosh, and some other people, you could just see that they are being pummeled. They are being pummeled by a very, very powerful machine, which, by the way, doesn't make any sense, because here I am praising the power of a pummeling machine that leaves one coin alone. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. How could you not go after something like that? So there you go. Anybody's looking for fairness or equality in the legal system is just naive. So back to you.
Yeah, although in the particular case of OneCoin, they're the ones that they were answering a question from stage one time, and this used to be on YouTube at least, where they said, oh, we're not going to go in the United States. They have too strong of regulators. But there's plenty of other scams. Your point is still well taken. There's plenty of other scams that the government should be going after instead of these people, like, if Flynn broke the law, give him his punishment. But, man, the guy put in 34 years, I think it was, in the Army, and, by all accounts served honorably, and now you trap him into some kind of a admission that just doesn't seem to – I mean, the whole premise of this whole Trump thing, I don't want to get political here. I'll tell everybody I'm a conservative so that you know where I'm coming from. But, I mean, this whole thing with the dossier that seems to be pure fiction, and that's the basis that they went to the secret FISA court to get permission to do wiretapping and so forth. This just seems so out of control at this point. Who knows what's going to happen, because it is totally out of control, and we need to get it back to what we thought it was. If it ever was reasonable, that's even questionable. So,
yep. To destroy someone like Michael Flynn's life just to get whatever you want to do on or at Donald Trump is just a great example of the injustice that happens in the systems. But that's the way it is, and it's never going to change. And just make sure you stay out of the crosshairs. That's the only advice we can possibly give you. So, because you can have your whole entire life totally upset by something as insignificant, probably, as what they're doing to try to go get Trump out of wherever you're trying to get Trump out of. But anyway, we don't want to get too political. So, what else is happening in the MLM world?
Well, there was another story that kind of caught my eye personally, This again was on behindmlm.com, and it's a December 6th story, December 6, 2017. The headline is World Ventures RICO Pyramid Scheme Class Action Lawsuit Filed. And I think this was something that has been around for a little bit, just wasn't reported in a timely manner, but it's out there now. And the reason this company is personally interesting to me is because it's based in Texas, in the same city that I live in. And I went to the, not the Better Business Bureau, but the Chamber of Commerce, you know, the business, I can't think of the exact name, but it's for the city I live in. And I talked to them 2 or 3 years ago. I said, look, you know, this thing is based here. They're a member of your, Chamber of Commerce. They're a member of the City Chamber of Commerce, and they're based here. And I want to talk to you about this company because it's relevant. You know, it's not like just a random MLM that's based somewhere else. It's actually based in the same city, you know, that you are in, that I'm in, and this company is based in. And they basically sloughed me off and said, well, you know, you need to go ask them for more information. Well, I knew full well they weren't going to give me more information. You know, these companies, they're not going to put up their numbers of retail sales versus internal sales. But now they're in trouble for the same thing, this internal consumption thing, and now they're being sued in the class action lawsuit. In fact, if you go to another website called Tina.org, I think it is, or truthinadvertising.org, they actually have kept track of the numerous class action lawsuits against MLMs over the last, I would say, 2 or 3 years, and they're quite numerous, and they just keep piling up all the time. And this is just one of the latest ones to pop up, and you know, we'll see where it goes. But interestingly, this is another interesting facet of this, is that the lawsuit started in California state court, and then it got transferred from California, which is, I think, where the people that first sued World Ventures live, and then it got transferred into Texas state court, where World Ventures is headquartered, but then it got transferred up to a federal court in Texas. So this thing has just been sort of bouncing around the courts without a whole lot of progress being made as far as the actual case. And so now, you know, they're in that process of figuring out, you know, discovery and seeing if they're going to, you know, qualify the class and all those things that have to happen. So it's not, you know, anything in the near term I don't think we're going to hear a final decision on. It's just interesting how it's, you know, kind of started and progressed, and it hits home for me, not because I was scammed by this particular company. I was scammed by Amway. It's just they operate very similarly, lack of retail sales, and I think they also have a tool scam. I don't know enough details to make that statement very confidently, but they seem to have those hallmarks of also having a tool scam. So anyway, that's just another quick story. Did you have anything more to add to that one, Peter?
Not on that one. I don't know that much about it, but they've always been, you know, dangling back and forth between, you know, not getting, you know, getting sued, having things dropped, getting things to whatever, sometimes return, you know, like they've always been in this thing. And I guess it's not uncommon for some network marketing companies to deal with these types of issues, but World Ventures seems to be always here, if you will. So I don't know that much about it. We have customers from World Ventures. So the customers that we have are pleased with it. They like the services, all those types of things. But I guess the question is, are they retail sales or are they just self-consumption?
Yeah, the charge in the lawsuit, one of many charges, is that you can find either the same price or cheaper, you know, similar travel from any number of commonly available travel agencies. And so there's no particular good deal as far as the pricing of World Ventures, you know, which goes to explain at least the reasonableness that there's not very many retail sales, that they really do focus on getting more people in as distributors, and then having those new distributors you know, buy whatever they have to buy, whether it's an entry fee or a renewal fee or travel packages, you know, and not that they are required to buy those things. They're just strongly encouraged, you know, just like in Amway, you're not required to buy anything. You're just strongly encouraged. And so you do, and you try to, you know, pump, you know, crank the pump with your, you know, with your hand to try to get some water out of it. And, you know, most people just don't succeed because it's just too hard to put together a group and keep them together under those conditions. Another interesting story I noticed was there was a story on Behind MLM all the way back on December 4th, and they did a review, December 4th, 2017, Viridian review. I don't think we've talked about this company before, but the headline is Viridian review, potentially overpriced utilities and travel savings, you know, talking about World Ventures. And then 2 days later, there's a brand new story on the same website, December 6th, the headline is Viridian to abandon MLM business operations. You know, next March, they're going to, you know, March of 2018, they're going to stop MLM. They're going to, you know, become just a, I guess, a retail company for utilities and travel services. So that one, that's happened before. It's not super common, but we have seen it before where, you know, an MLM gets going and all of a sudden they just, you know, cut the legs out of their distributors and say, hey, we're getting rid of you guys now. Thanks for building us up, and we'll see you later. You know, goodbye.
Right. We'll keep your business and we'll just turn you all into customers. So if you're paying for your utilities using them, you'll still pay your utilities. We're just not going to pay commissions on them. So we'll just take all of you guys and turn you into customers, which, by the way, is probably, you know, we know all the details, right? So I don't want to pull a Jack Ma here. But the reality is that that's kind of the way it works sometimes. There's been several companies that have done those things before. Yeah, there's been several companies that have done that stuff before. Okay, so is there anything else? I think we covered most of them.
I guess we could wrap it up for this week, Peter. There's always plenty to talk about next week and the week after. So I think we can wrap it up for this week and you know, let people get back to their preparations for Christmas or New Year's and all that good stuff.
Okay, so I might as well go on the record because usually I've been given Bitcoin predictions. So there's a major event, right? There's a major event that's going to be happening with Bitcoin this coming week, and that is they are going to be on the futures market. There's going to be one. There's two. I think there's two entities that actually you can have futures. Now, I got to tell the people that are listening in what a future is. So I'm going to give you a very non-accurate definition, but it's going to be a good enough working definition of what a future contract is. So if you had something like if you were a farmer and you had corn and you wanted to say, you know what, I really need the cash flow associated with this. Some people might buy your corn, right? So they're going to buy your corn in advance. A farmer usually doesn't make the corn first and then sell the corn second without any question of how much do I need or how much am I going to get, so whatever. So there's a market that says, you know, I'll buy your corn on January 5th at, you know, 25 cents an ear. So, and somebody would have a contract and say, I'll take it. So whatever that is, it's basically someone saying, I'm going to buy that at that date at this price. And, you know, they have to pay for these contracts and stuff like that. And you just can't do it. Like you and I can't do it. You have to be a trader who works through a brokerage and all that sort of stuff. So that's what's happening with Bitcoin. Bitcoin futures are now available on, I think, two exchanges. And one of them is going starting may have already started today. I think it may have even started today, or I'm sorry, tomorrow, Sunday, on the 10th of December 2017 for those people listening in. So remember, bankers are saying, well, we're not sure if we're going to do this. Other bankers are saying, we're not sure if we're going to allow most of our customers to do this. We may have a few customers to do this. We might do this on a small scale, a large scale. Nobody knows specifically, but we'll see how all this stuff shakes out. But will it have an impact on Bitcoin? And the answer is yes. My prediction is yes, positively. So I would not be, if I were to give you my prediction, I got my little crystal ball and watching the thing go down to 14, I would say it could be as high as $17,000 by the time we talk next Saturday. So I think it's not going to go up like super huge, but I think it's going to break another record. So I'm going to be on the books by saying I think your Bitcoin is going to be at $17,000. Now, by the way, just let me one last thing about Bitcoin. The majority of the people don't own one Bitcoin. The majority of the people own one-tenth or less of one Bitcoin. So if you're saying to yourself, oh, shoot, I should have bought a Bitcoin, but now they're $14,000 or $16,000 or $17,000, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. Bitcoin is divisible by 8 decimals, I believe. So like dot, and then blah, 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 8 times. So people can own a fraction of a Bitcoin if you wanted to. So you don't have to have, like, you didn't miss it if you want to jump into this thing. But my prediction is the first week at least, the future is going to help propel the Bitcoin price, and the manipulation will start later. But I really think it's going to be at 17,000. So we've been kind of using our Building Fortunes radio show to document some of Peter's predictions. And I've been pretty good. I've been pretty good at this stuff so far, so we'll see if I'm right on top of it. So on that note, Scott, anything else you want to add?
Well, just to piggyback on that real quick, Peter, my understanding, you were talking about the futures, and the example was corn for 25 cents in January. My understanding of that is the farmer will say, well, I need the cash flow, so pay me now. And he's also kind of taking – he's sort of hedging his bets. He's taking some risk away because it could be that, the next summer the rain is so good and there's so much corn out there that he can only get 20 cents in a year. So why not take 25 cents now versus, maybe taking less if there's just a bumper crop in the summertime. And on the other hand, let's say there's a drought and the price of corn goes up. Maybe it's 30. He could have gotten 30 cents an ear if he had waited longer, but he needed the cash flow and he'd rather have sort of a guaranteed rate of return. So he's giving up that potential extra profit for something that's sure. And certainly the person that is providing the future is kind of taking some of that risk. If it's going to be 20 cents, he might lose some money. And if it's 30 cents, he's going to make some money. And so that it's kind of a shift in the risk also. And that's my understanding of the Bitcoin thing too, is you're shifting some of the risk away from just the holders of the Bitcoin. Now what that means to, the long-term viability of Bitcoin, that's way over my head. I won't even pretend to have an opinion on that. It's just too far out there. I'm not an investor type. And like I said earlier in the show and on past shows, even some of the really smart investor type, business type people really don't understand Bitcoin. And so I'm not going to pretend to either.
Right. So, even billionaires admit that they sometimes don't pay attention or don't know or right. Don't understand or haven't followed it. So the reality is you're right. So we're going to see what happens. But the futures market technically isn't tied into the price of Bitcoin. So if I was going to buy a Bitcoin future, I don't have to buy it with Bitcoin. I'm buying it with cash. So it's a cash deal. It's cash settlement. So even if I lose, I have to pay up cash. I'm not paying with Bitcoin. So it really has nothing to do with the supply and demand of the coin itself. But it will have an emotional, if you will, attachment one way or another. So we'll see how it goes. But I'll tell you, for all of those MLM traders out there, you're going to hear new stories on how your MLM is going to be trading on the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, or they're going to be trading futures and blah, 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 blah. And without any verification, it's probably all a fantasy story. So on that note, I think we're done. Scott, thanks for being here. Check out Scott Johnson on allmlmfacts.org or stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com and come back next week. And if you want to hear all this all over again, go to buildingfortunesradio.com. Check for Scott Johnson or any of these types of things, and we will catch you next week. We'll see you later. Thank you, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Peter. Take care.
I got to find the button to Alan, for those people that are in the cold weather, you had some snow. For those people in California, we wish you the best with the wildfires. We'll catch you next time, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.